بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم نحمده ونصلي على رسوله الكريم أما بعد. Respected elders and dear brothers, on one occasion Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned to the Sahaba ikram radiallahu anhum with regard to a particular scene that will take place on the day of Qiyamah, where he explains that there will be a Nabi and with him will be just one or two people which make up that particular Nabi's Ummah, and thereafter there will be another Nabi and he will have a handful of people who make up his ummah. And thereafter there will be a third Nabi and he will have a slightly larger group than the first two. And then Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, there will be a very, very large group, so large that they will fill up the entire horizon. And it will be said to me that this is the ummah, or this is your ummah, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And furthermore, he then mentions that there will be 70,000 people from this particular group, who Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will make the announcement that they will enter the gardens of Jannah bila hisabin wala iqab. That they will enter the gardens of Jannah without any accountability and without any punishment. Sahaba ikram radiallahu anhum, upon hearing this, they ask Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, tell us, what are the qualities, characteristics of this particular group? What action did they do in this worldly life that they will attain Jannah bila hisabin, without any accountability, without any punishment? Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam doesn't reply. He enters his home. These sahaba radiallahu anhum are seated in Masjid al-Nabawi. They begin discussing amongst themselves that what are the qualities of this particular group. So someone says that perhaps it's those who are the close companions of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. They spent a lot of time in his company. Somebody else says that perhaps it's those who accepted, or those who were born into Islam. They have no background of shirk, of ascribing partners to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. As they are discussing, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam emerges, he comes out of his home. He sees that they are still discussing, he asks them, what are you speaking about? The sahaba explained that, O Nabi of Allah, you mentioned that there will be this group of 70,000 of your followers, of your ummah, and they will enter Jannah without hisab, without iqab. So we are wondering, what are their qualities, what are their characteristics? Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam then says, هُمُ الَّذِينَ لَا يَرْقُونَ وَلَا يَسْتَرْقُونَ وَلَا يَتَطَيَّرُونَ وَعَلَىٰ رَبِّهِمْ يَتَوَكَّلُونَ. The salient qualities and features of this particular group, they are those who do not rely on amulets, on charms. In other words, they don't believe that any amulet, any charm can give me protection, can secure my rizq, or can secure any safety and security for me in this world. وَلَا يَتَطَيَّرُونَ. They don't rely on good omens or evil omens. وَعَلَىٰ رَبِّهِمْ يَتَوَكَّلُونَ. But they place complete reliance and trust upon Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So they have this quality of tawakkul. As he says this, a sahabi by the name of Ukasha bin Mihsan radiallahu anhu, he stands up, he says, O Nabi of Allah, make dua that Allah makes me from amongst this group. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam immediately raises his hands, he makes dua, and he says to him, O Ukasha, anta minhum, you are from this group. Allah will include you amongst them. A second sahabi stands up, he says, O Nabi of Allah, you make dua that Allah makes me also from this group. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam replies, sabaqaka biha Ukasha. Ukasha has preceded you, he has beat you to this particular virtue. Mufassirin explain, Muhaddithin explain why the Nabi of Allah didn't make dua for the second person. Various reasons are given. One possible reason is that if he had to continue, then a third person, a fourth person, and everybody would have woken up and made this request. But here Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is trying to draw our attention to this particular quality of tawakkul, of reliance. As Allah mentions in the Quran, وَمَنْ يَتَوَكَّلْ عَلَى اللَّهِ فَهُوَ حَسْبُهُ. That person who will have complete reliance, trust upon Allah, then Allah will be sufficient for him. وَيَرْزُقْهُ مِنْ حَيْثُ لَا يَحْتَسِبُ. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will provide for him from such sources and avenues that he never fathomed. He didn't think he's going to get some sustenance from there. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will create the means and provide for him from this particular avenue. We find commonly, when it comes to tawakkul, when it comes to reliance upon Allah, the question is asked that, do I adopt the means, don't I adopt the means, or to what extent should a person adopt the means in this worldly life? In this hadith here, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, a sahabi comes to him and asks, O Nabi of Allah, I have a camel with me, and sometimes I wish to do some work, and I need to leave the camel somewhere. So, should I fasten the animal and then have tawakkul on Allah? Or should I just leave this camel free and have tawakkul on Allah, that Allah will take care of it? Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam looks at this person's condition, and he says, fasten the animal, tie it, and thereafter place your trust upon Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In other words, you adopt the means that are permissible, that are possible within your means, within your capability. You take care of this, or you take charge of this, and thereafter you leave it to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So there is a balance that needs to be struck. We find ulama explain that, yes, we should tie the camel, but unfortunately some of us, instead of tying the camel, we have fastened it so tight that we are strangling the camel. We have absolutely no tawakkul left upon Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We find that a person has put up so many barriers around himself, or he has cushioned himself to such an extent. He knows, I've got this particular medical aid and insurance, and I've got so many things that are covering me. Whether it's permissible or not, that's not what we're speaking about. But a person has so many things that he can rely upon, that when some difficulty comes upon him in his life, he forgets Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Commonly we find a person at night, he hears some noise in the garden outside. He realizes that perhaps there's an intruder that has come into the property. And the first thought that comes into his mind, did I lock the gate? Did I close the window? Did I secure myself physically? Whereas a person should be thinking, did I recite my du'as, my ayatul kursi, my du'as for protection? Of course, we have to adopt the means. And ulama explained, especially for people like myself with weak iman, we don't test Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that I'm not going to adopt the means and Allah will take care of me. No. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam explains that a person should adopt the means, but together with this, have trust upon Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Don't adopt the means and have trust upon the means. If the means could assist us, then we would not have found burglaries taking place. How many times a house is secure? There's an electric fencing, there's an alarm system, the gates and the doors and windows are all locked, but still that intruder finds himself in. And at other times, person forgets the garage door open, he leaves the car unlocked, there's a parcel of money in the car, he wakes up in the morning, alhamdulillah, nobody has come in. So this is the system of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that although we will adopt these means outwardly, whether it be the means of sustenance, whether it be means of protection, but our trust, reliance should be on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And ulama explained very importantly for us to develop this tawakkul within our lives. Ulama say, just as an example, a person goes to the garage to fill petrol into his car. And how many times it happens to us, we'll say to the bowser boy, fill the tank up. And in my mind or in my heart, I know I've got my wallet with me. Let the person put his hand into his pocket and realize that I've left my wallet at home, and see how his heart skips a beat. That now what's going to happen? How am I going to pay for this? So ulama, Hazrat Muhammad Azhar Sahib Daum Barakatuhum, he explains that one muraqabah, one meditation that a person can make is when you're filling up your tank in your car, say to yourself, it's not my wallet that's going to pay for it. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is going to create the means. They say this muzakara should be made at home with the family as well, that some groceries have run out. Before phoning the husband, open the musalla, read two rakats of salah, ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that the bread and milk has run out, oh Allah, you send it for me. Thereafter, adopt the means. Phone the father, phone the husband, ask him to buy it. But have that tawakkul, that trust upon Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Just one incident that will end. There was a family in Dioband many years ago, and they would constantly teach their child tawakkul, that you should trust upon Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah will provide for you. So the parents would say to this child, he was a young boy when he would come home from school, that you go into your room, you open your musalla, read two rakats of salah, and you ask Allah to send food for you. And Allah will create the means and send it for you. So this young boy, he would come home, take off his school bag, he would freshen up, open his musalla, read two rakats of salah, and he would make dua to Allah. That, oh Allah, you send something for my lunch. And he would come into the kitchen, his mother would have prepared the food and it would be there and he would eat. And one day comes where for some reason or the other, the mother and father are both not at home. There was some emergency, they had to leave on short notice. So the mother begins to worry that my child is at home and now what is he going to eat? I didn't prepare for him. So the parents discuss amongst themselves and they say, we've taught our child the lesson of tawakkul. That trust upon Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah will not let you down. وَمَن يَتَوَكَّلْ عَلَى اللَّهِ فَهُوَ حَسْبُهُ. So this boy comes home from school, the parents are not there. And eventually the parents return home, the mother comes, she knocks on the door, she finds the child has already gone to sleep. So she wakes him up, she apologizes that I didn't prepare lunch for you, I had to leave on short notice, and you must be hungry. The child says, I already had my lunch, you left the pot in the kitchen. So the mother inquires, what are you speaking about? I didn't leave anything. So he explains, you taught me that I must come home, I should open my musalla, read two rakats of salah. So I did this as was my norm, my habit. I made dua, I asked Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I came into the kitchen and the food was there. If this is a reality, of course we're not waiting for miracles to happen. But a person has tawakkul. The words of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala are true. Allah will take care, Allah will suffice for a person, for us to have that reliance and the trust upon Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah give us tawfiq wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alamin.